is ESPN Chicago, WNVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago. The very latest news and analysis from the NHL and Chicagoland hockey. Presented by Four Winds Casino and brought to you in part by Nancy's Pizza and your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Now here are your hosts, Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle.
Another edition of the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Four Winds Casino with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. Good times last week at Four Winds Casino.
I love the Four Winds. I love the Four Winds. You committed to a boys' trip with golf and Four Winds for the summer. You better stick to that. If not, I'm just going to go by myself.
No, I'm absolutely going to do it.
And tell you what, my other co-host with my day job, Eddie, he's on his way to Four Winds right now.
Is he really?
He is. He's doing March Madness with his buddies up at the Four Winds, so they'll be sitting in the same spots we were. But yeah, so he's sold on it. Four Winds is the best.
I've been loving Eddie on this.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of work here.
Stations, yep. Doing a lot of work. The Blackhawks have been doing work, but it's been with negative results. And
they've been doing work.
Yeah,
they can work a little harder.
Something like that. I've been oscillating the last few weeks. I've been down, I've been up, I've been down, I've been up. I'm in that down mode. It took a turn. They've now lost five straight, including their last two games, 6-2, to Vancouver on Saturday and last night to Seattle. What's crazy about last night's game was it was one of their best first periods I've seen them play in months. They came out flying
energy.
Bedard was jumping. They got a 2-goal lead. Now they let a goal in like 31 seconds later, which they've had
it's been an epidemic. Recurring theme.
It has been a recurring theme. And then they followed up with a second period that was all Seattle, and it was embarrassing. It was a one-timer fest, high danger chances galore. I felt bad for Spencer Knight.
Well, Seattle's the best team in the league, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
something like that.
Or they're another lottery team, just like the Blackhawks.
Yeah, they're above us, but they're in the lottery.
They're in the lottery. So I mean, you had the quote from Jason Dickinson. You know, we are not a team that can play with a shootout mentality. We're not going to make it 8-6, 8-7. No kidding.
Yeah.
But that has been the theme, really, since Richardson got fired. They've been a little loosey goosey defensively, and you know the old Biz thing. It's been pond hockey. It's a problem throughout the entire team. It's not just 98. It's everybody. And I think they did get that big boost around the trade deadline, where everyone's excited about Spencer Knight. He makes his debut, the 41 saves, and it's like, oh, we got our guy. He's got and then you had the comment from Foligno saying we have to get rid of some distractions. Oh, they're playing great, and it's like that little deadline bump. The new shiny new toy that has worn off. Spencer Knight's got to be thinking, what did I get myself into?
I know.
So it's been ugly. It's been ugly, but it's been back to normal. It's like every time I think I'm numb to it, I watch a game like they had last night against Seattle, and it's like it's getting harder and harder.
You talked about what Jason Dickinson said. Here's what Dickinson was asked. How can the Hawks break out of this current slump?
We are not a high-skill team. We are not a team that can play with a shootout mentality. We're not going to take it to 8-6, 8-7. Those are not games that we want to play. We got to get into a gritty match where we're blocking every shot. We're getting into bodies. We're forechecking. And we're turning pucks over and making it miserable. It's not going to be fun to win hockey games that way, but but winning hockey games is a hell of a lot more fun than this, so I don't care how we have to do it. I just want to win.
Till the talent level increases, they're going to have to outwork the opposition. We've been talking about this since the beginning of the season. It was Luke was preaching. I mean, that was the mantra.
You can go a long way with guys who work hard and play smart.
Yes.
You know, and that has been something we've been kind of complaining about, and we said, and I've said all year long, I don't care if they lose 3-1. I don't, just play the right way and play hard, and you'll get bounces, and eventually you'll get some goaltending, and you'll win some games. You just want to have a culture and habits, and it just feels like these guys are, spinning in their office chairs, staring at the clock to expire for the to be the end of the year, then all go home and go golf. It seems like nobody wants to be there. Nobody's willing to, you know, dig a little bit harder to finish out the year strong. And, you know, we're coming out of the deadline where they're playing well. Like you said, we were last week, we were on a little bit of a high. It's like, can they use this last, you know, month and a half, 6 weeks, whatever it is, to kind of slingshot themselves into next year and kind of build that culture and build the momentum and have this be a positive environment for, you know, Oliver Moore and Sam Renzel and Ryan Green to kind of walk into, get a taste of the NHL at the end of the year and be like, hey, like, we're building something here. That has all collapsed and right back to normal. They stink again. The culture stinks again. And it's more of the same.
All right. 13 games to go. Let the kids play. That's the mantra. Yeah. I mean, look, they basically have had 10 23 and under players in the lineup the last week.
Yeah.
So over half their lineup is 23 and under. They have taken over the room. Mm-hmm. I told you a few months back, you know, you'd get a Nazar call up and he would try to fit in, and, you know, he would have Bedzy and you know, maybe a Kaiser.
Slagger.
And yeah. Then it now they keep coming in one after El Mastro.
Leshinov.
And Spencer Knight.
Yeah.
And now they run the room. But
what does that mean?
Well, it's their room. It's finally, you know, it's a weird situation.
So they're responsible for this.
No, I'm just saying they've taken over. Yeah. In other words, where everything would filter through Foligno or
Jones
or whoever. Yeah. I'm now it's still filtering through those guys, but the identity of the room, they recognize that the older guys are going to be gone.
Yeah.
And it's us. And they're starting to see, okay, who's coming up. You mentioned Renzel, you mentioned Oliver Moore, and Ryan Green. Those are the types of players that are, you know, hopefully going to sign here after their college season is over. We're going to see them for a cup of coffee.
Yep.
And then they'll be a part of the roster next year.
Yeah. But that's the thing where it's like, this is where we always go back to the Mitch Marner discussion. And it's like, I want a young guy with leadership, character, physicality, energy, big game moments, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, that's what this team needs. They need guys who and not that Marner doesn't compete, because he does, but he's never been the top dog in the room. And I want more guys like that, because it just feels like they don't have it. They got a lot of nice boys, which is great. I love having nice boys on the team. They need some jerks, and they need some guys who have some more sand and some competitiveness to them, because if it's their room and they're accountable to each other, this has been disgusting since it's been their room. And you would think that they would be embarrassed to get absolutely smoked at home by Seattle, who also stinks. And it doesn't, like, you hear Dickinson, he seems pretty mad. Vlasic says morale is down. Somebody pick it up. It's your team. It's time to go.
Let's hear from Alex Vlasic. You mentioned it. Here he is on the frustration level for this team right now.
How's the level of frustration coming right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the worst it's been all year, to be honest with you. I think we're trying to take steps as a group, almost at game 70, and it feels like we're taking one step forward, one step back. We're not really making any progress as a team, and if we do, we just kind of shoot ourselves in the foot. So it's frustrating to kind of just do the same thing over and over again for the whole year.
I mean, it's the lowest that they've been, and that there's been some deep dark moments this year.
This is the dog days, though.
Yeah, this is tough. This is a handful of games left.
It's hard for any team in this position.
Yes.
But I was hoping that with the injection of youth, that there would be some, hey, like, I'm in the NHL.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to work my butt off because this is my first time in the NHL. I'm, in a way, nothing's guaranteed for next year.
No.
If you're Landon Slagger or Colton Dock or even a Frank Nazar, Del Mastro, everybody's on a tryout. There's going to be we hope that they spend money. There's still some holdover veteran guys that would, in theory, either be back or need to be bought out or something, that this is a tryout. Do you want to just be in the NHL, or do you want to be in the top six? Do you want to be a guy who you look up in the stands, you see their jersey, or do you want to be part of a trade package for something? What do you want? And you can start that process. There's 12 games to go, 13 games to go. Put your stamp on this team and start towards growth.
I love it. I think next week, and the show's going to be on Tuesday night next week, I think we need to have some show homework. And each of us puts together our lineup next year, complete with question marks.
Yeah.
And how we would plan to replace those question marks, mm-hmm. whether it's offer sheets, whether it's signing a free agent, whatever the case may be. Let's kind of... You know,
I like that idea. So, it's getting tough because now it sounds like Sam Bennett's going to sign in Florida today.
I know. I was bummed out because he was somebody.
He's the guy.
That's the sandpaper guy.
Yes, that can do both.
Yes. Yes. Look, there's got to be some other guys out there.
I hope so. And that maybe it's a trade. Maybe it's something. But it's getting harder and harder to project those things. And if you're gearing up, you shed all this cap space. Cap's going up. You put yourself in this position with all the draft capital. Go out and Danny Wirtz in an interview with The Athletic. It's like, well, we're not going to be aggressive for the sake of being aggressive. Actually do that, because this building thing, you're just going to build forever. And then there's a reason why they rank all the owners in The Athletic too. That the Blackhawks are 29th. Well, you better start spending some money. You better start winning. You better get the games on TV, because you're losing the fan base again. And the apathy is setting in. It looks like apathy on the ice. It's just apathy all over the place with this organization. It stinks. I'm fired up tonight. I didn't see this coming.
I didn't see it coming either. Maybe it was that
a good mood today.
That was that early call for that Cubs game yesterday that maybe got you a little.
They stink too.
Oh, two games in, we're ready to get a bury.
They should have signed Bregman. They should have tried to win in a real way this year.
We've got so much to complain about in Chicago sports. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Tony Granata joins us, the U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer. He is an analyst on CHSN in studio with me and Kaylee Chelios and Colin Frazier and Chris Chelios and others. And he spoke one-on-one with Bedard today. And I want to get into Bedard's week with you coming up in our next segment, because we talk about frustration, mm-hmm. back-to-back games where he gets a 10-minute misconduct. He's second on the team in PIMS.
Stunning.
Behind
Stunning.
Maroon.
Yeah.
Like, really?
It's a shocking figure.
It is, but we'll get into it. Tony said they had a great conversation. I'm looking forward to picking his brain on that, and we'll hit the phone lines as well. 312-332-3776 is the number to get a hold of us. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We are sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and Nancy's Pizza. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Rolling on The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. With Barstool Chief, I am Pat Boyle. Let's get into the Connor Bedard back-to-back games where he had 10-minute misconducts. I had zero problem with the Vancouver one. He was in there. It was 4-on-2. He's just sticking up for...
I thought that was totally fine. I don't mind a little pushback.
Not at all.
That was just the ref trying to be like, this game's over.
Yeah, two minutes to go. Let's get everybody in the room. And again, they were... Vancouver was responding to Dickinson's hit on Hedl, which I get that.
Fine.
You know, that's the way this game is played. Mm-hmm. Now, the Sharks game, billed as Celebrini versus Bedard, the last two first overall picks squaring off for the first time. And the refs miss a tripping call on Bedard.
A horrible miss
in a tight game in the third. He's upset. He finishes the shift, goes to the bench, and the TV video isn't great. If you go by like the tight close-ups, There's no evidence he did anything. He was a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
But if you look at all the footage and, you know, zoom out, there's one where he's leaning over the bench and he's probably barking at the referee, which Chris Rooney, veteran.
Yeah.
And you saw him put up two fingers to Nick Foligno when Foligno came over to try to find out what the heck is going on here. Why has he been tossed? Something to the effect like two warnings or it's twice that it happened or what have you. So, well, let's hear from Bedard. Just this is Bedard after the game on what led to his 10-minute misconduct for, quote-unquote, abuse of the officials.
How do you feel about the team game overall, I guess, the first 50 minutes?
Not great, really. I think, you know, especially the first, they really took it to us in the first. Felt we had, you know, a bit better in the second there with Gazon. But, you know, I think they probably outchanced us and outplayed us overall. So I think we can be better.
It's frustrating considering how well you guys, you know, I felt like you've been playing lately.
I'm going to that was the second part to the, to the bite where he's being asked, you know, what did he say? And he's like, yeah, you know, I didn't think it was.
Didn't he first say, I can't remember?
He didn't or something remember. They said, when did you say it? Did you say it when you first went over to the bench? He goes, I don't remember.
Okay. All right.
So they were asking when the actual transgression took place.
What, I wish he would have just been like, this is what I said.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they can bleep it out if you want. But, like, just, I don't know. He must have been something. If a veteran official, the guys bark at the refs, and the refs bark back, and that's just always kind of been part of the hockey culture. So he must have said something or crossed the line. I would have liked to know.
Yeah, I mean, he admitted as much. He said, you know, obviously I said I didn't think it was the worst thing, but obviously I said something, and I crossed the line.
Official might have been having a bad day.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I mean, like, what official that knows the NHL is promoting this as Celebrini versus Bedard is going to throw him out with basically 10 minutes to go in the game in a one-goal game. I mean, that's a referee that's not aware of his surroundings, really.
Or maybe it was really bad. I don't know.
I mean, look, there we've had him mic'd up on CHSN a couple of times. And if you recall last year when they took on Kane.
Yeah.
No, he had some choice words for Patrick. Stay on your feet.
Well, it was more directed at the official than
Kane. Yeah, but I mean, he was at both of them. I mean, for a rookie, you know.
Which I don't mind that.
I don't mind it either, but apparently you got to earn those stripes.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, Sidney Crosby went through this, and we'll talk to Tony Granato, who coached Sid 5 years into his run in Pittsburgh. And Crosby was still agitated at calls back then, 5 years into his Hall of Fame career.
And Taves had to tell him to keep his feet in that the Soldier Field game.
That's
stay on your feet, Sid.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, look, if Bedard wins a couple of cups, maybe he doesn't get as many misconducts thrown his way for mouthing off. And I think there is, like, he's still, second full year now. Like, maybe he just hasn't earned it. He earned the right to get away. He's not a superstar.
No. Officials do not want to hear rookies or second-year players.
He's got to deepen his voice. We got to get him on some nicotine and just get that little gravel in his voice so it comes off a little bit better.
This is what we want. We want the Barstool Chief heading over to Fifth Third.
Send him a box of cigars.
Connor, here's the situation. Here's the situation.
You want to get away with some calls, you got to deepen that voice a little bit.
I've got a cigarette endorsement deal for you. We got to deepen your vocal cords.
Every time we'll do the old Quenville. You got to do cigar every six holes.
Okay.
So that's the summer workout plan. We'll get a little gravel in that voice.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Elliot in Elgin, you're up first on the Hockey Show. How are you doing tonight, Elliot?
Very well. How about yourself?
Well, you know, it's been rough sledding as of late.
This team stinks, Elliot.
Yeah. Well, good show, guys.
Thank you.
Question for you. You seem to be a little bit more enthusiastic about the long-term prospects of Renzel and Korchinski over guys like Allen, Del Mastro, Kaiser. Why exactly is that? Thank you much.
All right.
Yeah, I think those guys, the second names he mentioned, they all look like kind of third pair guys to me. They don't have quite the offense. Rinzel is an elite skater with great offensive skill who's 6'4". And I think he's developed pretty nicely this year defensively as well. So he looks to me like he could be a true two-way guy. I'm actually not that – if I were going to rank him, I'd probably have Del Mastro higher than Korchinski at this point, because I think Del Mastro might actually be a guy who can be in your second pair as a shutdown type guy. So Korchinski looks more like a third pair kind of, you know, like a specialty player. But it's a nice thing to have options, because I like Kaiser. I think Kaiser's fine. I think Nolan Allen's fine. They got a lot of good young prospects back there.
I think you could see Sam Rinzel in a top four pairing next year with this team.
I think it's very possible.
And I think he'd be a great compliment with Vlasic.
Yeah. Or him or Levshinov, too.
And I think you'll see Levshinov. I agree with you that Del Mastro, I think, you know, Allen could be a third pairing with, say, Murphy.
Yeah, or Kaiser. Yeah, long term.
But it's going to be interesting to see if they have the opportunity to draft first overall or second, and Schaefer is available, and if you have him as an elite defenseman, you're already, I'll say, overstocked, but you're plenty stocked on the blue line. If you decide that he's your Makar and you have to have him, all of a sudden you've got to move some of your current assets that are on the blue line.
I would assume it would be Korchinski and maybe somebody else, because
I want to see Korchinski up here over the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's one of those questions now, because is he better off playing 25 minutes a night in Rockford? I don't know exactly what he's getting, but top pair minutes in every situation. Or battling with Del Mastro and Kaiser for third pair minutes. Like, what's better for him?
You bring him up here for three or four games just to, again, see what the speed is like. Mm-hmm. I know he experienced it all last year.
You're going to have Rinzel up in this mix, you would think, too, if Minnesota gets bounced. So it's going to be, I think there's only so many minutes to go around.
Well, I mean, this is where I'm prioritizing those minutes.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Fair.
Like,
yeah, you want to sit Brody?
Brody may not see any ice time the rest of the way.
Yeah, Brody Martinez. Yeah,
let's go back to the phone lines. Mark is in Lincoln Park. What's going on, Mark?
What's up, gentlemen? Great show as always. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, what do you got?
Barstool, hopefully I've had enough cigarettes and whiskey.
You sound great. We got to switch vocal cords with you and Bedard.
Yeah, there you go. Patty, this is all to you.
Okay.
Listen, man, I grew up having to watch the listen to the Blackhawks on a clock radio.
Right.
This is how pissed I am about your program right now. Not you. You're not your radio program. I started this whole bit with Zetterman and the Chisholm network.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, my TV dropped the channels now. I can't even get it. We live in the city and I can't rescan it. I would love to listen to you and Granato and Kaylee and everybody talk. You got to talk to your executives and get this damn program back on the television. We can't watch the damn game. I'm beyond pissed.
Yeah, no, and look, I'll tell you this. Danny Wirtz,
and I know you work for
them. They're not happy about it either. Look, this is
right.
Nobody's game plan was for them, half the city, to not be able to see the product.
I know.
And the over-the-air option, I just want to say the over-the-air option was that was not intended to be the way most
–
you know, that was for people that honestly can't afford – streaming services or cable or what have you, to give them an option to see the product.
My only point was, we know the tiering of it, right?
Right.
Blackhawks and White Sox should have said, whatever Comcast needs for 24 months, we'll cover the differential. Let's keep everybody hooked on this and keep everybody watching. We'll figure out the deal after that.
Yeah.
I love your show, guys. Barstool, they already know my loathing for Seth Jones down there in Florida. I think it's absolutely hysterical, because I've talked to you guys about it for the last 6 months. Patty Boyle, I'm only saying it because I know you're the talent. I know you're not the executives.
Understood.
I'm just passing it along.
I get your frustration.
I But, Pat, I was a 7-year-old going to sleep with a clock radio listening to the Blackhawks, okay? I'm 58 right now. I know what this is, and they're blacking me back out, and I'm not happy about it.
Understood.
My kids skate at Fifth Third every day, dude. I'm there every single day. It's not like I don't see them in person. Anyway, the team needs a lot of work, guys.
They do. They do. Thanks, Mark.
I'm with you, Barstool. Yep. Sorry if I'm ranting, Pat.
No,
sorry.
That's okay. You got enough ammunition here. That's understood. Yeah. Look, I'm hoping that, you know, Marquee's going through the same situation now with Xfinity, and we're approaching, you know, the other opening day in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And these deals usually get done around opening days or first games of the season. Now, I thought this was going to be done by the Bulls' first game.
Yeah.
Clearly, that was miscalculation. So, hopefully, cooler heads will prevail and they will get a deal done around opening day for both the White Sox, Chisholm, and
it would actually,
and Mark,
I think, make me mad if they got a deal done for the White Sox. Nobody wants to watch that team. They're
well,
about to win 40
that's
games
the other
again.
Thing, because, you know, the climate of Chicago sports right now and having the Bulls where they are and the Blackhawks where they are, it didn't exactly scream for an outcrying from fans.
Correct.
To say, gosh, you know, yeah, what? I need my CHSN. I mean, yeah, that's a byproduct of
where
they
are,
in the rebuild and in the standings. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. But it look.
It's the apathy.
You're preaching to the choir here.
Yeah.
You're preaching to the choir. All right.
Pat, why don't you just get the deal done?
I know. I just have been sitting. You know, I have it on my to-do list.
Have you called the head of Comcast?
I was like,
yet?
You know what? I'm going to go to Fifth Third Arena. We're going to talk to
this broker
player.
A deal.
You know what? I got to get that Xfinity deal done.
Yeah, it slipped your mind. I'll put it on your Google calendar.
It'd be really
calendar.
Cool that, you know, the work you do would actually get seen by everybody, that you want to see it. What a novel idea.
What an idea.
Hey, coming up next, Tony Granato had a sit-down interview with Connor Bedard today. And I want to hear from the U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer what they covered, what his takeaway was, and get his pulse where this rebuild is at. Tony Granato joins us next on The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
On the AM.
At 1000.
On the FM.
At 100.3 HD2.
On your phone.
Through the ESPN Chicago app.
The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Four Winds Casino. Barstool Chief, I am Pat Boyle. It is our pleasure to welcome in Tony Granato, the U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer, longtime NHL player and coach, former head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers, and now an analyst for the Blackhawks on CHSN. How you doing tonight, Tony?
I'm doing well, Pat. How are you guys?
We're, you know, we tend to ebb and flow with where this team is at. So
I'm currently ebbing.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Yeah. I think we're all in that same boat right now.
All right. Well, you chatted with a guy who's has been dealing with this now for the last couple of seasons, Connor Bedard. You spoke to him after practice today. You know, just give me your overall biggest takeaway from that conversation.
His optimism. You know, I thought after the last, you know, road trip and the tough loss or the kind of embarrassing loss in the last two periods of what happened the other night against Seattle, I thought he would be in a really kind of crabby and kind of, you know, not so great a mood about the big picture and about, you know, having to do a sit down today. But he was very optimistic. He said the struggles are part of being, you know, a young team that has to go through growing pains to get, you know, to get through it. And he said the more we can stick together through this, the quicker we can get out of it. So he was trying to find the positives in it. And then he kept mentioning the young kids. You know, he had a really big smile on his face talking about Levchinov. I think Levchinov had a bit of a different kind of personality in the locker room that the younger guys can kind of laugh at and laugh with, besides being such a great, promising player. So I caught a little bit of that vibe from him. Obviously, the Spencer Knight acquisition and the Vlasic on how he continues to develop. And then, you know, a lot of the other young players not only that are here, that are coming real soon, gets him excited that, you know, in a couple years, he thinks that there is set as anybody as far as the potential personnel that'll be in the lineup, you know, not too far down the road. He kept saying he didn't want to say, you know, that means we're going to lose for the next couple years before we can win, because we still, you know, it still hurts to lose and we still got to figure out games to win. But he's optimistic that that fun day and that day of where these young skilled players turns victories more often than defeats.
How do you think that optimism jives with the comments from Vlasic and Dickinson recently about how the morale is at an all-time low and we can't continue to play this kind of, you know, to use Paul Bissonnette's word, like the pond hockey or the shootout mentality? Do you think there's a disconnect between different factions in that room?
I wouldn't say a disconnect. I think, you know, everybody gets a mic stuck in their face and they're trying to say something that's, you know, honest, but also, you know, trying not to disrupt the flow of really where they're at. They're in a rebuild. Yeah. They're not. But what Dickinson said is exactly right. We can't think we can go out on the ice and win a game based on talent. We have to find different ways. And sometimes during an 82-game season, you got that jump, like they had that stretch where they went five games undefeated against some pretty darn good teams. And, you know, the rhythm goes, your goaltender's playing well, you know, you get the timely goals, you make the big hits when you need to, and block the shots when you do whatever. And then there's other times when, you know, no matter how hard you're trying to go, the other team just outskills you. And I think that's been the case in a couple of these games. And I think what you kind of see when you get to game 70 and you're beat up and you're tired, even though you're young, when things don't go your way, you tend to go on your heels and try to defend. And the Blackhawks cannot play, you know, on their heels or defend or sit back. They just can't. They'll get picked apart like they did, you know, against Seattle last night. So I think that there's, you know, kind of, you know, hey, we want to play good defensively. Does that mean we do have to sit back and not jump? You know, they're kind of caught in between, and that's the inexperience. That's the, you know, 10 guys in the lineup, 23 and under. And, you know, you know, frustrating for everybody that's going through it. But again, the optimism that Connor said is kind of where I'm on, leaning on the side. There's times when I think, oh man, this is hard to watch. And then there's other times I look at it from a realistic viewpoint and say, okay, would I rather have a Vlasic and a Nazar and a Bedard and a Knight and a Del Mastro and all these, but, or would I rather have a 27, 28 year old team that's middle of the pack that can't win a Stanley Cup? I'm going to take these guys any day, because you look at every great team that has, you know, you look at Crosby in his early years, you look at McKinnon in his early years, you look at McDavid in his early years. You look, you know, at the Blackhawks, you know, before Toews and Kane and Seabrook and Keith Getter, they stunk. And so the Blackhawks right now, there is enough there for me to get excited about what could happen, you know, a few years down the road.
Tony Granato joins us on the Yingling Guest Hotline on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. You mentioned Sidney Crosby. You coached him pretty early on in his career. There are some similarities between Sid and Connor Bedard. Did you talk to him today about the similarities of the frustrations with officials and the learning and development he has to figure out in that area?
No, we did not. I did not specifically, you know, talk about that. We talked a little bit about the frustrations and how hard he is on himself, on how bad he wants to win. And I think that's where when I see similarities, the competitiveness and the desire to win, and the times the frustration of thinking, man, oh man, how long is this going to take till we win? And that's a natural thing for a young kid. And the pressure that's been thrown on him, the pressure that was thrown on Sid, you know, being the next generational player, being the next superstar, you know, to live up to those expectations and to jump into an organization or a team that doesn't have a whole lot of pieces around it, that's extremely difficult. And so I think, again, the optimism that he showed about, you know, recognizing that some talented players are in the pipeline and in the organization that are going to be here shortly that can help facilitate some results or some better results soon, I think is where, you know, he's trying to keep his focus. But he's hard on himself. There's no question about that. But I do think, again, you know, he's trying to continue to use the experiences of what happened with the misconducts, okay, in a way that, okay, why did the referees, give me that misconduct? And how am I hurting the team? What can I do differently next time when I get frustrated? I think he's going through that process. Like, you know, he made those comments after Messier or Bissonnette said those things about, not being back, strong enough at Tenefa. And him saying, yeah, he was right. And for him to be able to accept that and understand that, part of being a superstar is handling criticism and using it the right way. I really admire him. I there were times during the time when I sat down with him, I had to keep reminding myself that he is 19 years old.
That's crazy.
I was 23 when I broke into the NHL, and I thought I was a young puppy that was, staring around like, holy God, what the heck do I do here? I couldn't imagine having to do and handle all of the things that he has to handle of being the franchise player and the lottery pick and all the things that go along with it. So I was really, impressed by how he handled it, how he answered the questions, and his optimism about, even with all the things that have been going on, of staying positive of where this team and organization can be in the near future.
Can you use that? Is there like a leadership or a coach who can use that message of positivity to try to get the guys to buy in fully for the last 12 games so we don't see what we saw against Seattle and treat it as like, hey, this is like the first chapter of next season. Is that a message that is received, or is there anything the leadership group can do to try to finish strong here?
I think that's an idea. I don't know what happened. They had a team meeting this morning. The day was supposed to be off and no one was supposed to come into the rink. And after last night, they changed that and said, hey, we got to show up tomorrow. We got a discussion we have to have. What was in that discussion? Could it be something that, close to what you just said? Chief, I think it could have been. I think it could have been, hey, guys, listen, the only ones that can fix this are the guys in this room. And, what happened last night wasn't acceptable. All we want, down the stretch in these last 12 games is to show our fans how much pride we have in wearing the sweater, how much we care about each other, because there's going to be changes, and this might be the last time that a lot of us are together. Let's have some fun doing this. I mean, hockey's fun. The game's supposed to be fun. And, yes, there's pressure on it to perform to a certain level of acceptance from the organizational standpoint, from the fan standpoint, from a teammate standpoint. And that responsibility, falls on the players to say, hey, I'm a pro. I got to step up here and finish the year in the right way. So I think that there was enough said by enough players. I know they're crabby. You're not happy. Nobody comes into a room smiling after what happened in the last two periods. So there was probably some, guys bitter about things that have gone on. And sometimes, you just need to go in there and share some, some frustrations, share some, ideas about, hey, let's get out of this. This is how we're going to do it. So the practice was good. It's decent energy in there. It wasn't quite as, upbeat as you'd hope it would be, but it was, they got on the ice and zipped it around for a little bit. And, let's see how they respond tomorrow. But yeah, there was definitely a meeting that was had that hopefully, got them at least calmed down enough so they can think. Because a lot of times when you're struggling and all this is happening and your mind is so messed up that when you get on the ice, you don't play. You overthink it. And that's certainly something that can't happen. Or if it does happen, it's going to be, tough to get some wins here in the next little stretch here.
Tony, you had the honor of playing with Wayne Gretzky on the same line in Los Angeles. You've remained friends with him over the years. Have you talked to Gretzky about Bedard? And if so, what is the great one said about, the skates that he's in and how things are going?
All right, so I did. And the one thing I say when Gretz talks, he's right. When he says something, he is right all the time. And his opinion of the Blackhawk organization is, unfortunately, you have to be patient, but what they have in Connor and what they have coming, it'll happen. And it was basically as simple as that. So he likes where the franchise is, not the standpoint that they're second to last again and they're going to have a high draft pick, but he likes the idea of these prospects are going to turn into something that he can grow. Connor can grow with this group because there's a bunch of young ones in the same age group And, you know, that's the part I think that Gretz has reminded himself of what it was like to be an early Oiler when he had, you know, a young Messier, Lowe, Anderson, Fuhrer, Curry. You know, those are super superstars. But Connor doesn't have super superstars with him. He's got some really good prospects in Frank Nazar and Vlasic and Knight that could be star players. But I think Gretz sees similarities to maybe a few other guys in the pipeline that could fit that group of players, that they could do something special together as they move forward.
Now, this is a big summer coming. We've talked about all the prospects. What type of player do you think that they need to inject as a veteran, either through trade? I'm not looking for a name specifically, but either a trade or a free agency that you think could take this team, you know, to the next level?
Yeah. You know, I appreciate Dickinson for, you know, he's not a veteran player, but he's in that range in between the younger guys and the older guys. So he's still got a lot of prime hockey in front of him. So I think he fits into that mold. Donato has fit into that mold of guys you want around to kind of set the example and be the mentors for the younger guys. Foligno is getting a little bit older now. Nick has tried to and given everything he can to try to say the right things, do the right things as the captain. You know, Patty Maroon yesterday, you know, he takes criticism for making a mistake on a goal or being on the ice for a goal. Again, you got to remember the start of the game. They come off this long road trip. Before the game starts, the puck is getting ready to be dropped, and he's fighting somebody to get the energy in the building going and to show the guys, hey, here, we're to play. And that sparked the guys into playing great for the first, you know, period plus. So there's guys that are trying and to do their, you know, their part about, you know, bringing the energy and setting the example and raising the standard of competitiveness and all that stuff. But to go back to your question, what do they need in the next player? They need a selfless player that understands his role and his ice time might be limited, and his job is to be ready when called upon and to be the one that's diving in front of Murphy. Murphy's a perfect example. I love watching Murphy play. Connor Murphy is the example. You know, he's been banged up. He comes back into the lineup. He does whatever it takes to compete and block shots. And he's not a, you know, all-star performer as far as how he moves the puck or whatever, but he's an all-star competitor. So I would say along that frame line of intangibles that he can bring into the locker room and into the lineup. And obviously, if you can add, you know, a younger skilled player, or if you can, you know, put together a couple assets and move it for a young skilled player that's in that 24, 25, 26-year-old range that can grow with these younger guys, that has a young mentality, then I would, you know, I'd be all in for trading a couple assets for a type of player that, you know, skill-wise can add some compatibility with Connor and the other skilled players.
Tony, great stuff. I look forward to your conversation with Connor Bedard tomorrow on our pregame show. And I really appreciate you picking up the phone tonight and doing this.
Awesome, Pat. Chief,
thanks,
you guys,
Coach.
Have a great night. Thanks, you guys.
All right. That is Tony Granato, the U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer, joining us on the Yingling Guest Hotline. Yingling is in Chicago. After 196 years, you can enjoy Yingling Traditional Lager, Light Lager, Golden Pilsner, Black and Tan, and Flight. We are back to wrap up the hockey show after this.
The Hockey Show
with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
Call us or tweet your comments to at ESPN 1000, The Hockey Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Chief, I need more cowbell. Thank you. It's The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. Ryan Brandel, Pat Boyle with you. Thanks to our producer, Kevin Zipak, Jack McGrath. Thanks, Tony Granato, for joining us. Kevin, this is your last voyage on the hockey show.
Oh, my last shift.
Your last shift.
Yeah,
I'm leaving all on the ice Kevin.
Leaving my skates right in center ice.
And you're moving. You're getting out of this business.
This crazy radio business. Yeah, I've been about 12 years now. So
finally got smart and figured this thing out.
Ready to get a real job. Yeah, old enough.
As you turn to young Jack McGrath and say, you know, don't do as I say. Do
cover
as I
your
do.
Ears.
Well, no,
Jack.
He actually has a future. So
well, we appreciate everything you've done for our little show here on Wednesday nights. And good luck at the next chapter of your career. All right, so the GM meetings were in Florida. this week, and the league is open to doing anything for next year's All-Star Weekend. It's going to be the launching point for the NHL's participation in the Olympics in Milan, and there's going to be no game.
Good.
So, but what would you have any creative ideas? Skills competition, maybe clinics with kids. They want to get creative here.
Yeah. Have they announced where it is?
It's in New York.
It's in New York.
It's, I think, I don't know if it's on the island or if it's New Jersey.
I mean, go down to 30 Rock and play on the ice out there and do like 2-on-2 or do your skills competition. Just do it in like a cool setting.
Okay, I like that.
You know, you don't need to sell the tickets to the All-Star game, I don't think, and just have it be more about optics, and maybe it is, maybe only call in, you know, 3 guys per country that are playing in the Olympic game. So it's like, yeah, for USA, you have your 3, and it's like, hey, we're doing fastest skater, we're doing hardest shot, we're doing the targets, the snipe show. And then, but you can only have 3 guys, and it's the same 3 guys. So then there, and then have it be some sort of prize. I think you can make it fun, lean into the Olympics thing, lean into what you just had with 4 Nations, but scale down and just do it someplace sweet.
I like that.
Yeah.
See, we got to get you and Bettman on the same page here. You should go to
I got to say, Bettman and I, historically, not on the same page.
He's usually not on the same page as anybody.
Yeah.
But that is going to do it for us. Remember our homework for next week.
Build the roster.
The roster for the start of next season, complete with current prospects and our wish list that they may have to go to free agency or some other route to get.
Something. Build a team.
That's going to do it for the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We'll see you Tuesday next week on ESPN 1000.